Yeah. The topics of today's daf are, you have mishmaros. Mishmaros are how the night is split to several watches of the night. You have the concept of entering into a ruin. It's a famous, famous agadah we're going to get to today, entering into a churva. You have, again, back to the discussion of mishmaros, where the night is divided up into several watches, where you have several parts to the night. And then you have the concept of David HaMelech et Chatzos, which continues into tomorrow's daf. Okay, so let's start learning. First of all, you have a couple interesting tosas in here. On Gimel Amid Aleph, you have the tosas of Hayalat Palel. Here, let's do this Agadata, which is important over here. The Agadata starts, Tanya, two dots, middle, just past middle of the page on Gimel Amid Aleph. Tanya, Amar Rav Yosi, Pam Ha'echas Ha'isi Mahalach B'derech V'nichnasti L'churva. One time I was going on the road, and I happened to enter into a churva, this dilapidated building. From Echas Mechorvas Yerushalayim, from one of the destructive places of Yerushalayim, L'ispalel. Bo Eliyahu Zachar L'tov, came Eliyahu, who should be remembered for good, V'shomer Li Ala Pesach, and he watched me at the entrance. Ad shesayamti tefilasi, until I finish my tefila. Le'achas shiyamti tefila, after I finish my tefila, Amr li shalom alecha Rebbe. I said, shalom, peace be unto you, Rebbe. Va'amarti lo, I said back to him, shalom alecha Rebbe, peace be unto you, Rebbe. Umori. He added the word mori. Amr li b'ni, mipnei ma nechnasta l'churva zu. Why'd you come into this churva? Amr li b'ni, mipnei ma nechnasta l'churva. Amr li l'pala. I came to daven. Amr li, he said to me, Hai l'chali pal b'derech, you should have davened on the way. V'amarti lo, I said to Misyara Hayiti Shema Yafsik bi over drachim. I was afraid that passerbyers would interrupt me. V'amr li, Hai l'chali tefila kitzari, you should have davened a short tefila. V'osa Shah, at that moment, from this conversation, Rabbi Yossi says, I learned three things. L'marti menu shlosha dvarim. L'marti she'ein nichnasin l'churva. I heard you don't enter into a churva. L'marti she'mispalim b'derech. I heard that you learn that you daven along on the way. V'l'marti she'mispalim b'derech. Mispal, if you are going to daven on the way, mispalot tefila kitzara. You daven a short tefila. V'omer li, and he said to me, B'ni, ma kol shamata. He said, what voice did you hear, b'chur v'zu, in this dilapidated building? I said, shamati a bas kol. I heard the voice of a bas kol, shemenamemes kiyona, that's wailing like a dove. V'amar, and it was saying, oi labonim, woe unto the children, she'abavanoseihem echrafti as basi, for their sins I have destroyed my house, v'serafti as hechali, and I have burnt my hechal, v'higlisa leben umas, and I have exiled them among the nations. V'amar li, chayecha v'chayecha v'chayeroshcha. And Eliyahu said back to me, you should know, lo shazu bilvado meriskak, that voice is not just going out now. Ela b'chol yom v'yom shlosh pamim. That voice is going out three times a day. Amart kach. V'lo zubavad v'shash yisrael nachavad. And any time a Jew goes into shul or to the base medrash and says, Yehei shmei ha-godom avarach, HaKadosh Baruch Hu minanea rosho, God turns his head and says, Ashrei HaMelech, woe, praiseworthy is the king, Shemakalsin Osova Beisokach, that praise him in his house like this, and Ma'alo La'av, but woe unto the father that had to send out his children, woe unto the children, Shegolu Me'al Shulchan Aviem, they are sent away from the Shulchan of their father. That's a world famous Agadata. Eliyahu Nichnas into the Churva. Don't worry about it, don't worry. Eliyahu Nichnas into the Churva. World famous Agadata over here. Okay, so we have a lot to do today. Let's go. So first of all, the Gemara at the top of the Amud is talking about how you can tell the different watches of the night. The night is divided up into three watches because we want to figure out how late you can go with your Mariv. And the Gemara has a machlokas whether or not the night is divided into three watches or four watches. The watches parallel the times when the Malachim would stand guard, when the Malachim would stand there at the entrances, so to speak, davening before Hashem. Those are the watches. Now, there used to be symbols to know at the end of each time frame, when the end of each time frame would happen. So, for example, how does a person know? I don't know when the angels are up there. How do I know when each time frame is up there? So the Gemara says, the Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Meir, Shlosh Mishmaris Havelaila. It's near the top of the page. With each one of the Mishmaris, the nights were. But I'll call Mishmar and Mishmar. And for each and every Mishmar, Kadosh Baruch Hu is there sitting, and he cries out like a lion. It says, Hashem Imarom Yishag Umimon Kocho Yiton Kolo. So, now, Simon Ladavar, The way to know the end of the first mishmar is a chum or noer, is a donkey brays. The second is the dog tzoakim barks. And the third is the tinak yonik mishtei imo, that the baby is suckling from the mother, and isha misaperesim bala, and the woman is talking with her husband. So there's simonim to know in the human world when the end of these watches happen. Okay, now the problem is, what do you do if someone's sitting in a base offel in a dark house? Leman degani. Why do you need these simanim? If at the end of the day, I know Amar Hashachar, daybreak is the last simon, or even more specific, we're going to get to when you can tell the difference between blue wool and green wool. Tchelis lekarti, right? If it's more specific, I could tell. Why do I need to have this these simonim? So the Gemara answers for
simonim come at the end.
At the end. Why do I need the end? To know the end of the third watch. If I want to know it's when to start the Shema in the morning. What's the point of me knowing when the end was? I could tell. If I can't tell the guy who has strings that are blue and green, it's still, I can still admire of Shema. If it's already past that, I could still tell blue and green strings. It's too late anyways. So what do I need to know these simonim? The answer is, if someone lives in a dark house and they don't know, they're locked under door, they can't tell anything. So Tosfos on the left says, "V'im Tomar v'halu Rabbi Lezer boy at Shiakir." But Rabbi Lezer himself is the one who needs you to be able to recognize between blue and green for Kriya Shema of the Shacharis. How does it help that you have this time that correlates to Amar HaShachar? Amar HaShachar is too early for him. He can't say Shema then, and it's not the end of night for him. So V'yesh Lomar, what it means is, "Mikol Makom Kevin Shiyadam Matayet." No, now he'll know. Once I know when Amar HaShachar is, I know that by the time I put my clothes on and get out of bed, it's going to be that time of blue to green. And that's what he meant by it. It's good for him to know when Amar HaShachar is, because then he could make his specific calculation of when the blue to green time is. A few minutes, put on the shoes, I'm done. I know it's blue to green. Okay, now the next tosis, that's just a nice functional tosis, again, is, well, Eliyahu HaNavi says to him, you should have davened a shorter prayer, right? You should not have done this, what you did, where you stood there in the churva. You don't daven in a churva. The Gemara is going to give you three reasons at the bottom why you don't daven in the churva. Bottom line, the reason why you don't daven in the churva is because of chashat. People are going to suspect you up to God knows what. Mipnei ha-mapolis, the building is going to fall down. Or three, mipnei ha-mazikin, the shadim there, right? So if either of the three, you're not supposed to, you should have done a tefillah katsara. Everyone confuses this tefillah katsara with something else called havinenu. Havinenu is a special abbreviated tefillah that we're going to learn about later on in brachas. That's not tefillah katsara. Tosfos mentions that over here on haya l'chalipot tefillah katsara. L'chora mashma she'ein ze havinenu. That sounds like it's not havinenu, right? The hakoboy l'kam and ma'ikim, because later on daf lamed, they're going to ask what's between havinenu and tefillah katsara. So if you say l'perish akuntris bekan dahinu v'ninu kasha. See, if you say this is mamish havinenu, the way Rashi says over here, then this is tefillah katsara is something else. Tefillah katsara has the words tzarchei amcha merubim. It's a reformulated prayer. It's got nothing to do with Shmona Esrei. Havinenu is like the Shmona Esrei, the greatest hits. It's like the greatest hits of Shmona Esrei in a shortened prayer. Tosa says the difference.
Do we have any of that tefillah in
the? We have havinenu. The Gemara in Brachas prints it. It's three lines. No one uses it for anything. But the point is, the difference between the two is the following. Tefillah Ketzara could be...
just remove certain parts.
No, that's Havinenu. That's the point that Tosis is making. That's not Tefillah Ketzara. Tefillah Ketzara is a prayer that has nothing to do with Shmona Esrei. When you're in danger, you say Tefillah Ketzara. The difference would be is if you said Havinenu, you wouldn't have to repeat Shmona Esrei when you're sitting and it's calm now. If you did tefillah katsara, you would have to repeat Shemona Esrei when it's calm, because you didn't do anything. You did the side thing, which is called tefillah.
You know the mechaber of tefillah katsara?
I would say Anshei Knesset HaGedola. Whoever, it's the same Gemara where they put together the regular Shemona Esrei. The same Gemara mentions tefillah katsara, and they mention Havinenu. You should have done the katsara. Why'd you do a regular Shemona Esrei over there? Right? Why'd you do that? But so it's Machlokas Tos Rashi, whether when that phrase Tefillah Ketzara is being used here, is it really referring to Havinenu? Or no, it meant this Tefillah Ketzara thing. And there's differences between the two. Now, it really is a Machlokas Tosis and the Rambam a little bit over here. I'll leave that aside for now. I don't want to get lost in that. Now, key Tosis, bottom of Gilam et al. This is a major world-class, world-famous Tosis. Here we go. Onan Yehem Shmei Godol HaMavarach. You answer, meaning it was one of the three things, right? We said that a person answers Yehem Shmei, that a person davens, and you should have been afraid of people passing by, and you should have davened a shortened one, fine. And the bottom of the Gemara, we said over there that when a person enters into the shul and says Yehem Shmei Agadol Mavarach, so and so forth, it's a whole big thing. So let's see what that's about. Let's just learn that for a minute. So Tosva says the following. Yehesh mei gadol mavarach. Mikan yesh listar. This contradicts what the Machzer Vitri says. Machzer Vitri was a student of Rashi. Okay, he put together a lot of the girsos of davening. Yehesh mei rabba. That the phrase Yehesh mei rabba is a tefillah that we daven. Sheyimale shmo. That God's name should be made whole once again. Yehesh mei rabba. Your name should be whole once again. That's what the Machzer Vitri says. It's based off of a drusha we have in a famous pasuk, Shmos Yud Zayin, where it says, Ki yad al keska. That your hand shall be al keska. Meaning, instead of saying kisa, your chair, it says kes. It's abbreviated. The letter's missing. That your name, that Hashem's name, because of Amalek, Hashem's name is diminished in the world. Doesn't mean, God forbid, God is diminished in the world. From our vantage point, God is diminished in the world. Shelo yehei shmo shalem vekiso shalem, that his name is not complete and his chair is not complete until you wipe out the Zara of Amalek. And that's what it means, yehei shmei. Shmei means shame ka. Your name will be complete again one day. We daven that it should be complete. And then when we say gadol umavarach, you are great and blessed. According to the Machzer Vitri, that's a separate thing. You understand? According to the Machzer Vitri, there's two parts to your Kaddish. There's Yehei Shmei, right? Your name should be a name again. It should be a full name again. And then gadol umavarach, and you are great and you are abundant. Two separate blessings. Tosfos doesn't like it. He says that doesn't seem to fit with our girsa. Our girsa reads it as one flowing line. Yehei shmei gadol mavorach. It's mashmen et tfilos achasi. It's one great name that you have. Right? Ve'ena rotze lomar sheshmo gadol ve'el sheshmo gadol mavorach ve'gam ha'shomer ha'olim. And what the world says, that therefore we say Kaddish b'loshon aramis in Aramaic, because it's a beautiful tfilah, b'shevach gadol, and a great praise. Therefore, it was established in Lashon Targum. Why? Shelo yavinu hamalachim. So the angels don't understand it. This is famous from the Haggadah. Why the Halach Ma'anya is in Aramaic? Because the angels don't understand it. You don't want them to understand when you're trying to invite guests in. Vayu mekanim banu. They'd be jealous of us. No, says Tosfos. That's not right here. Kama tfilas yafas. There are many beautiful prayers which are in Hebrew. Ela nira kedarina besof sota. Rather, it seems more like we say at the end of sota. Ein ha'ola miskayim ela asidra de kedusha asa. That the world is sustained by the seder of kedusha. Ve'i shmei rabba de basar agadasa shaya regil lomark. They used to say this yehei shmei rabba after learning agadata and after a drusha. Because there were Ameratzas who were standing around, people who didn't understand anything. And they didn't understand. Some of the people come to the Shir were Ameratzim, and they didn't understand Lashon HaKodesh. Therefore, we established the Lashon Targum so that everyone could understand the Kaddish afterwards and take away something that would be chizik from them. Baruch Hashem, we have Rav Soloveitchik on Maseches Brachas. All Rav Soloveitchik's notes of Maseches Brachas. He has beautiful on the whole.
The reason why the Aramaic is so people could understand something of the
Tosfos of the Shir. Of the Shir, at least. The Let Shir. Them get something out of it. Okay. Tosfos says, Rav Soloveitchik says like this. So, Shitas Arambam is for any Lima Torah Shebal Peh that you do, you say Kaddish Derabanan and not just Agadata. Right? He writes that in a Seder Tefillah Benusach HaKaddish. Right? It should be on any type of, on any Lima Torah Shebal Peh, you say Kaddish Derabanan. Rashi and Sota, Daf Mem Tes, argues on that and says, Yehesh Meiram Varach is Onin Acher Hagada Shahadarshan Dorish Berabim. Right? It's only a drusha, darshan dorish. It's only a drusha from a pasuk. Right? According to Rashi and Sota, you only say this Kaddish Derabanan after someone who's speaking darshans from psukim. According to the Rambam, it's any type of Torah Shebal Peh. Any type of Torah Shebal Peh. So asks Rav Soloveitchik, what's the machlokus between the Rambam and Rashi? What's the machlokus all about? So he breaks it down into three types of Kedeshim. Three types of Kedeshim. There's a Kaddish Derabanan that you say after Lima Torah, according to the Rambam, after any Torah Shebal Peh, and after Rash, for Rashi, it's only after a Drasha. That's one. Two is a Kaddish Hamafsik. You make a Chetzi Kaddish after you finish a section of something. So after the Psuket Azimra is over, you say Chetzi Kaddish. Tfilas Arvis, between the Gol Yisrael and the Shmon Esrei, that's one part. Chetzi Kaddish. So again, one is a Kaddish for learning, one is a Kaddish for Mafsik, and third is a Kaddish Hamashlim Begomer Tfila, and a final call at the end of davening, for example, after Volitzion or Goel, or after, and those are the three. Okay, those are the three Kaddishim. So says Rav Soloveitchik, it seems that according to the Rambam, the Din Kaddish Derabanan is established on a Lima Torah that is helping to sustain this Mesorah. And therefore, the rabbis instituted a Kaddish on Torah Shebal Peh and not on Torah Shebichtav. Meaning on a Torah that's functioning in pushing along the Mesorah, which is a Torah Shebal Peh type job. The job of the Torah Shebal Peh needs the transmission of Rebbe to Talmud, a oral teaching. So the Rambam says anytime this great movement happened of continuing the Mesorah, that's when you did it.
Finish the Gemara during the day.
Yeah, you should be a Kaddish. Yeah.
A Kaddish.
We do after the Shirim. When there's 10, we say Rebbe Chananim, right?
So there's no we don't consider that hefsek between Yisrael and
that's a Marav Shaila with Hashkivenu, and we'll get to the third pair. We'll get to that. But he says unbelievable. He says after Kriya Satora, that Kaddish, according to the Rambam, who says after learning Yom Yitur Shema Peh, why are you saying a Kaddish after laning? Says Rav Soloveitchik, that Kaddish after laning, according to the Rambam, is a Kaddish Hamafsik. Just to end the section. It's not because of learning. It's to end that section of davening. That's what he says. He goes into other nafkaminas between all this. He says, based on explaining the Rambam like this, the Kaddish Terabon is only Torah Shabbat Peh. Only Torah Shabbat Peh, Ki Masara Satorah. Based on that, we can explain now. He ties that back into the beginning of Tosfos with the understanding what the function is of the name, Yehesh Shmei Goldam of Orach. Shitas Rashi, Kaddish Terabonin, is on Lima Torah Shal, Lima Torah, that you get out of, you take something, a drasha, and therefore you don't learn it for Dvar Halacha, Torah Shabbat Peh.
But everything's fine and good, but
yeah.
Torah Shebichtav, right? Torah Shebal Peh is the derivative of Torah Shebichtav. So without Torah Shebichtav, you can't have Torah Shebal Peh.
But they serve different roles. One of them is the role of preserving Mesorah. That's Torah Shebal Peh. And crystallizing the Mesorah, the Rambam wanted to...
Yeah. I understand that. So the question is why...
Of course they're related. You can't have one without the other.
Why a Kaddish off the Baal Peh, not
a Kaddish to celebrate the role of the passage of Mesorah. Sure, they're related. You can't have one without the other.
Why would you celebrate both?
What?
Why you celebrate
Torah and Nav, you have Simchas Torah. I mean, we're always celebrating everything. But he thinks the Kaddish was a tribute to say what you did, maybe like this. What you did was not any less Lima Torah. You think you did less because there was no Chumash open. There was no Tanakh open. You think you didn't learn the same. I'm telling you what you just did with Torah Shabbat Peh, you were Mekayim, you kept the Siyam going. Okay, then let's talk about this Rebbe Eliezer Nichnas Lechurva. He goes into the dilapidated place over here and sees Eliyahu HaNavi. There's a beautiful article in the Mizrahi magazine by Rabbanit Shani Terrigan a few articles ago where she says that if you notice Eliyahu HaNavi often throughout the Torah and Chazal, he's always standing at the entrance. Why? It represents standing at the thresholds between worlds. The thresholds between worlds. He's at a door of a cave. He's at a door here by the Chorev, by the Charava. And he appears to Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai at the door of his cave. Eliyahu HaNavi is trying, exactly, comes right in through the door. Eliyahu is at the door. Excellent. Rabbi Eliyahu HaNavi is trying to teach us that when you think you're in one space, you understand you could easily go in between both worlds. A person could, if he understands how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works with time and space, you're not stuck in one spot. You're able to move in and out of those places, come in and out of those places. And comes to Bris, he's not trapped by any location. He knows how to stand at the threshold of all the worlds and be in each location whenever he needs to be. And therefore, she says that's what Rabbi Yossi was doing. Rabbi Yossi comes into the Charva. It's after the Churban. What do you mean a Charava? This is Rabbi Yossi lived right after the Churban. There's destruction. How am I going to bring the Jews back to a world of glory, a world where they can feel pride, where they can feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the Churban? So he goes into the Charava to see if he could feel anything there. Eliyahu's waiting there to tell him, you can find a Kaddish Baruch Hu even the Charava. I have found the secret to eternity. I have found the secret to transcend time and escape the trap. And therefore, that's what it means. I'm teaching you, you have to learn how to daven bederech. What was one of the pieces of advice? You have to daven while you're on the road. You have to daven bederech. You're not stuck. A Jew is not stuck. No event can make a Jew stuck in one place in time. And a person has to be able to transcend it. A person has to be able to move from there. That's a beautiful drush on the Agadata over here. There's so much. On this Agadata, you do a search. You could find so many incredible things from Sfarim, the Maral. I have from the Maral as well. Let's do what we have in a couple more minutes. First of all, the end of the Gemara in the next Amid. We're also going to stay with this Charava Gemara. There's too much not to stay there. It talks about that they took advice from Achitofel. Achitofel was David HaMelech's advisor who later aided Avshalom ben David in the revolt against his father. His advice was considered to receiving a counsel from Hashem. That's what Shmuel Beis says it straight out in Tanakh. He's one of the four non-royals who have no portion in the world to come because he denied the Mashiach, which includes the fact that the Mashiach is going to come from David HaMelech. he wanted that Avshalom should kill his father, and then he would have Avshalom convicted and killed for the sins that he caused Avshalom to transgress. And then he was going to take the monarchy for himself. That's the Tiferes Yisrael understands on the Mishnah and Sanhedrin. He's an important figure in Tanakh. I gave a drush on him, I think, last year, Shavuos, on his will, his last will and testament. There's some very deep stuff there that he leaves over at the end of his life. Okay, a couple interesting halachas that come out from our daf. Number one, let's say you have, for example, the police announce that in our area is a terrorist. Do you need to tell somebody standing, should someone in the middle of the Shemoneh Esrei, you got to tell the person of Shemoneh Esrei to stop, schlep them out from the Shemoneh Esrei and stop. So we know from the Gemara here that that by Sakanas Churva, by this Sakan of the Churva here, you don't stop to begin Davin, but rather you wait until you finish. And that Eliyahu wanted to come to teach. So therefore, says Rav Yitzchak Zilberstein, Gam anu nilmad l'aneinu she'ima chashash sakana rochok. If it's a far sakana, right, not closer more than a sakana achurva, you don't interrupt the person whether to finish. But however, you would say anytime you have a real sakana, like a real sakana that's there, mamish, the guy's coming into the building, it's something clear and present danger. You interrupt the person from their Shemoneh Esrei, and he paskins, you go from there. Okay?
When there was a war in Israel, and they're in the middle of the davening, and he said, okay, all the Jews
yeah.
get out.
I don't know what threshold he paskined this at. I don't know. I don't know. But listen, the Mishnah says, Nachash Karach al Akevo, if a snake is on your heel, you don't stop. But it can't be a case where the snake has venom. If it's a case the snake has venom, you know, the value of life is the highest for Judaism. Next halacha. When the Gadol Hador is sick, and in order to save him, in order to save himself, he has to travel through a road where there are, where they throw rocks and things, a dangerous road. Is it mutter to endanger yourself to travel in order to save the Gadol Hador, right? Or ein somchin al hanes? I guess talking about a doctor who needs to come out to save a Gadol Hador was the tshuva that came before him. Do you put yourself in danger to save the Gadol Hador? So he quotes this Gemara, right? Should have done the way it's kana. So he says, la'or zos yesh lain hei tevim mutter lin so b'derech b'sukenes k'dei l'orfu adam gal, to heal a great person. He says, if you look at Maseches K'suvah Daf Ayin Zayin, it's Rabbi Yochanan Machrizu, hisiru mizvum shabali rasam. Rabbi Machrizu, b'osik tal Torah, eilu sev sev aschein, eim chein ma'alom deh, ogne lo magani, that the Torah protects those who are learning. Nearly the Haganah, the Torah adifim a mitzvah. The protection of Torah is greater than mitzvah. Meaning we know, shluchei mitzvah ain't in a zakin. We have a concept, shluchei mitzvah ain't in a zakin. I would translate those who are in a messenger of a mitzvah tend not to be injured, tend not to be. He says the protection of shluchei mitzvah for a gadol is even greater than shluchei mitzvah. And one could be somach ananeis, he paskins Richard Zilberstein, to send help. Therefore, mutal adam lismoch ananeis, in order to rofes a gadol hador, hamar bitz Torah l'rabim. As it says in the Mishnah Berurah, kishachala maharil, gozer, when the maharil made gzera, they made gzera in the tzibur, tanis, and they said slichas in the middle of birkas lach lanu. So the because they said shiny maharil, to rabim tzrichim l'torah, people need his Torah, they need it badly. There's a great tshuva from Rav Ozner I saw in Chelik Yud, where somebody asks that, he helped, he gave a bracha to a guy. He goes that if you get married, I'm going to give you a bracha. If you get married one day, I'm going to be at your chasana. 10 years later, the guy gets married finally after all this thing. He's getting married. Gadol Hador has never left Eretz Yisrael. So because the Gadol Hador never left Eretz Yisrael, the question is, should he go now for this? So he made a commitment. So the Rav Ozner says, unless you took a shvur or neder, you go where you're needed more. You go where you're needed more. You make the calculation. Where if you leave, 200 people are not going to learn for 4 days. You don't go anywhere. You go where you're required more, and that should be your your chef. What? I don't think he went. What? Yes, it doesn't tell you. If you made a neder, you're a little bit stuck. But you should know, short of that, you always go. Yeah, exactly. But how you make a decision is more what I get from it. Wait, hold on. There's another. There's a question of whether you begin the Kaddish when there's afraid the minion's going to leave in the middle. That's another good shuva that comes up. Answering Amen Yehi Shmei Rabba on a Kaddish that's said by someone who's out of their mind. A nutcase. Do you answer Yeheshmei Rabba? Just a crazy guy in Shul. He doesn't know what he's saying. He just hears everyone saying it, and he's mimicking. Another one is answering Amen Yeheshmei Rabba Alvaya B'Shabbos and Kaddish that said in a Ramkol out loud. I know at the MetLife Stadium they had a psak on the screen where it said, according to the psak of that of Reb Chaim Kanievsky, one should not answer the Kaddish that is said over the. Over the screen.
The guy is there. Oh,
so that. I don't know the exact circumstance there, but the postkim Rav Adi Yosef has a tshuva where he says that if you hear it within a second, meaning if it's a video being played from 2 weeks ago, forget it. But if the delay between you recognizing it was said is a couple seconds, then you do say it. What's his proof?
Live.
What? Meaning if it's live. And his proof is the Meturgaman case in the Gemara Sukkah, that they couldn't hear the guy all the way at the front of the Beis HaMikdash, but they knew when he would lift the thing. So as long as you know it's right then and there, you could answer to the Kaddish. Yes?
Let's say you're in Los Angeles and you're watching the scene.
So that's, I think that's exactly it. If you're watching something and you're seeing it live, a live feed, according to Rav Adi Yosef at least, I don't think the Ashkenazim both know, according to Rav Adi Yosef, you would be able to have answered it over there. Again, assuming you could answer if you feel the need to answer. But I think we assume that, especially if you're not standing in a meeting, also you're watching in the living room, you have the screen on, you don't say anything. Okay, let's stop there for today.